I still want to try to get in mind the feeling of expectancy that existed at the time of Hanukkah. We've read, one of the things we didn't read is Philo. Do all of you know who Philo of Alexandria is?
No,
Philo is not a story. He is a historical... Story. Huh?
Was he a historian and a historian?
Josephus.
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 Philo was a Greek Jew that lived in Alexandria, which was the city or the center of learning at that time, during the time of Christ. And just before the time and during. And so he and Josephus were the two main writers that we have that give us an indication of, other than the Talmud, of what was going on in Jerusalem at the time of Christ. Philo wrote the following. This is just my notes on what he wrote. He said, however low the condition of the people, however scattered the Jewish people were across the entire face of the universe, the banished on a given sign would be set free in one day. Their sudden conversion to virtue would make their masters release them. It would be a shame to hold them in bondage any longer. Then, as by one impulse, the dispersed would return from the north, the south, the east, and the west, led by a divine, superhuman, invisible, something that was invisible to others, and on arrival, the waste places in the wilderness would suddenly be inhabited. The barren would be transformed to fruitfulness. And that idea of, again, when you read what the law and the prophets, you see that all of the Jews, and all, not just the Jews, but the people of all the nations were expecting some deliverance. But they expected it the same as you do, based on changing their physical circumstances. And so they believed that the physical circumstances would change and there would be a kingdom of peace, physical peace on the earth. And that was the mood of expectancy throughout Persia, throughout Media, throughout Egypt, throughout the Roman Empire, throughout all the religions, throughout all of the areas of the known world. Again, but all of them missed the point, or all except for a very few, just like today. They missed the point, believing that the deliverance is going to be as after the flesh. They can't understand that, just as Jesus said, that the kingdom of God shall not come by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. We studied this morning in the morning Bible study about what it means to say that Jesus is the Christ. You cannot possibly say that and mean what it's intended to mean unless you are in a complete state of rest internally, no matter what the external circumstances. Because to be the Christ, he had to be the one, the desired one, the desired of the nations, that would fulfill every heart's desire that it was possible to fulfill. And faith says that's what he does. Now, again, most of the people then missed it because they thought he was going to come and change their physical circumstances, give them a new job, give them a new career path that would be fulfilling.
You said something yesterday, and I wish I remembered how you worded it.
worded it, but when Ed was talking to you, and you said it's not going to ever be about you, you worded it in a different way, and it just, it hit me, and it struck me as, God, sometimes like you miss the picture or something.
That's exactly, yeah, yeah.
It's not about, you know, me or him or...
No, the contrast of seeing but not yet seeing, hearing but not yet hearing. It's just kind of like...
Yeah, you said a minute ago the idea of recreating that feeling of expectancy, and it reminded me that because of what we've been studying and because of what's been going on, because of various little things that have happened in my life in the last week or so, I'm coming to realize that I don't think I ever really have been a believer. I think that I have until now been a hoper, and a wisher, and a thinker, and a bunch of other hers, but I've not been a believer. But I feel like I am about to become a believer.
Okay.
I have a real feeling of expectancy. That I don't think I have ever, I've said it many times, but I don't think I have ever believed that Jesus is the Christ. In terms of what it really means.
I can't tell you, I can't possibly duplicate what happened to me when I became a believer. But the best way of saying it in its fullness was I saw that Jesus was the Christ. And in the fullness of what that meant, that there was nothing left. But he was everything. When I left that experience and said, okay, now I am a Christian, I searched in vain for, because I needed to have some external confirmation of it. And so I went and searched, and the thing that I found was, and I've said this so often, but I think it may make more sense now, every place I went, I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, it's just that every place I went, I saw that what they were teaching, or trying to teach me, or trying to hold out to me, was how I could get something from God. And that was the basis of what their church service and the Sunday school and the teaching was, is how I could go to this place or become a member of this group, and then I could get something from God, or get something from the group, or get something from the association. Where every muscle and nerve and being and molecule of my being said, I don't need to learn or to go to a place where I can get something to be a part of the mystery of the universe and to fulfill who and what I am. I had to be in a place where I learned to give something, not get something.
So then you were no longer looking for an external confirmation then, at that point?
No, I mean, I didn't want a confirmation, I wanted fellowship.
Yeah.
I wanted somebody else to agree with me. I mean, this didn't happen overnight. I'm talking about 5 years.
I'm having somewhat of that experience. Certainly, I'm not having the experience of I don't want something, because I do. But, you know, I've got the TV on almost all the time at my desk, and I'll pop the audio on at different times during the day and listen to what people are saying on these various religious shows. And that's what it is. It, all the time, that's what they're doing, 100% of the time. No matter when you turn the audio on, what you will hear is why you don't have something and how you can change something to get something. I mean, it's all what you said. It's all how to get something. And it sounds like childish, retarded dribble. And I don't hear anybody say, lay down your life.
Well, who is he that denies? denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist. I mean, no matter what anybody tells you, you do not need anything. That's the meaning of Hanukkah. The apprehension of Hanukkah is the apprehension that you never again need. Need is no longer a word. It's like it loses, it sort of escapes. You know, other than the idea that I think I need to get laid every once in a while.
Besides that,
which, if you see it correctly, it's what it is. It's the need to reproduce spiritually. God doesn't need any more flesh running around. But that the sexual need is the need to reproduce. And if I remember that and apprehend it, then I'm fine. Anyway.
Yeah, I think what's about to dawn on me is that Jesus is the Christ and that the Christ is come in the flesh. Man, that part of it.
It's the fullness. It pleased God the Father that in him, in Christ, should all the fullness of the Godhead be bodily manifested.
So saying Jesus is the Christ is just the opposite of what we study, saying Jesus is accursed and all.
No, you deny that Jesus is the Christ if you say you need something.
Right.
No. You say that Jesus is accursed by all of the things that we
need. That we need, just everything we need.
There's not a whole lot of people that believe that.
Isn't Gnosticism like wedged pretty snug in the middle there? You know, when Harry said that, you know, the Christ is come in the flesh. You know, it's...
Gnosticism had two wings, two divisions. And the first element of Gnosticism was that
we're talking about like agnostics.
The Gnostics were a group of believers who prostituted, who changed the mystery in two directions. Okay, this is interesting. The first direction said that everything in the world is evil, so therefore they became the origin or the originators of the idea of the monastic life. They were the people that went out into the desert and formed the desert groups. And initially it was both men and women, but very soon that stopped and they became cloisters, either for many years only males and then later the nunneries.
Different from the Essenes, not...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Essenes were, you can get huge philosophical discussions, but the Essenes were probably not pre-Christian Gnostics. The other form of Gnosticism says that since spirit is everything, it preached pure license. And they became
There's no tension in either one of those positions.
Yeah, you've never seen partying like that.
Well, they're both great. Both of those are great for the flesh.
So, your flesh will always want to go sometimes one of those and another time another.
Nope, no test.
Okay, that's why Christ so clearly says we must be in the world, not of the world, because you can't give yourself over to the world, nor can you give yourself over to monasticism. So, if we were alive, I mean, if our group was in the time of the Gnostics, we would have been the greatest enemy of Gnosticism. One of the great, why I'm looking forward to this Hanukkah is the reading of the book of Judith, because Judith is the great argument between you testing God or God testing you. you don't have the right to test, put God to the test, but God has every right to put you to whatever test he desires.
Because he's God.
Because he's God. But what people do is they put God to the test for the purposes of approving.
See whether they, you know, they're going to go with this God stuff or not.
Right. Well, God's just going to wipe them off the face of the fucking earth.
I make my vow.
Now, it's so vital that you see that in the Magi, I mean, I've spent a lot of time on the Magi lately, but it's really important for you to see and understand who these guys were. The three Magi. The Magi were...
What does that mean, Magi?
The word Magi, just it's a word for holy men, but what it's far more than that. The Magi were the ruling class of Media and Persia at the time of Christ. So they were in Iran, much of Iraq, and eastward were the big dudes. The three guys were like the popes. The three Magi were not just the religious leader, but because the Magi were the ruling party of the day, they were also the political leaders of the day. Huh?
Like the president.
Yeah. That kind of thing, and that similar. They were much higher than that because they weren't elected. If you can understand it, they were ruling. They were the ruling class by birth. That was even more than royal birth, because it was, according to their theology, they were the ruling class by spirit and by birth.
So it's even more than Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Pharaoh say so.
They were the biggest dudes of the time. Can we get that straight?
In the best place.
In the best place. This was the whole area of Media Persia then was... Has anybody ever been to Iran? Well, that was Persia. But it was Tehran...
That's gonna be shot.
...was... Is, even when I would, I mean, it's just an incredibly beautiful place. Okay, these guys left those power positions, rode halfway across the known world, in the midst of the worst kinds of drought and everything else, so they could pay homage to a baby. Unheard of. It's because their holy book, which was called the Zend Avesta, predicted that at the sight of this particular thing or seen in the heavens, that would mean the desired one of all nations, the heart's desire of every man and woman and child on the face of the earth was fulfilled in that child. That's hard to believe. Our minds can't conceive of it.
So the world could be that focused at one time.
Yeah. But see, we don't care what the others now think. What I want to try to do is to get your minds back into the mindset of this time just immediately prior to Hanukkah. And I know I'm probably repeating myself 100 times, but it's because I don't think I'm not too sure you get it the first time.
First time when you watch that movie that you like a lot,
the those guys, fourth wise man.
They're just doing. I mean, they're constantly going through so many things and
yeah.
In anticipation to reach that moment.
What I really like about this is that there's so many different places and so many different times that it is told ahead of time specifically what's going to happen at a place and a time, and that it all comes together at a place and a time.
The Sphinx, told about cool. It. The Great Pyramid told about it. The signs of the zodiac told about it. Everything, every sign, everything pointed. Remember to that coma, the decan in the third decan in the constellation Virgo, and when that supernova, the star, it looked like a new star being born. And that happened at the birth of Christ in 4 B.C. I think it probably happened. Anyway, that's not the story. So the mood was one of anticipation of deliverance. The mood was one of salvation in its truest meaning. It was a mood of the anticipation of preeminent glory, of that was all connected to the hope of this desired one of the nations. In Hebrew, it was Yeshua Ha, the Mashiach, Messiah, anointed one, the desired one. In Greek, it was, anyway, I don't want to go through all that, but it was in every language, it was the highest it could be. Now, all law, all prophecies, all myth, all of the things that went in the temple, all the holy services within the temple, all the offerings, all the mysteries of the stars, all pointed towards this one seed of woman, desired of the nations. The sure word to the scattered and depressed, the sure word to the widows and orphans, because it's only the widows and the orphans that can ever hear the mystery. You understand that? It's only one who has left the gods of their father, who, in other words, who have divorced themselves from their natural father, and who have been widowed from being married to another, that can ever hear. It's the call to take heed as to that light, that star that's shining in a dark place. Every time you look up at the night sky and see the star, it's to take heed as to that light shining in the dark place until a day dawn and a day star arise in your heart. This hope, this anticipation gave meaning to their worship. It caused them to be able to be patient in whatever the suffering was. It kept them separate from the heathen, no matter where they were. It made them to know, this hope made them to know that they were continually and always strangers in a strange land, so they never made any alliances. It forever fixed their hearts on this mystery, this new Jerusalem. The Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all. And every myth and every mystery and every religion pointed to this one event. That's the mood just prior to Hanukkah. Now, the scripture says, yet a little while, and he that would come and would not tarry. And all the blessings and mystery and glory and joy would be theirs. At any moment, at any second, the glad tidings would burst upon them that he had come. And their glory would shine from one end of heaven to the other. No longer believing in, but living by the faith of, because Messiah has come in the flesh. And Messiah is come in the flesh. The idea that anything on the face of the earth could interfere with that mystery becomes the apostasy. The idea that this light, this Hanukkah light, that you could not use it for anything else, why? Because it didn't have anything to do with you. But it had everything to do with you having the humility to understand that everything had to do with him. And that humility gave you the opportunity and the entrance to be a partaker of the mystery. It's only pride that causes you to think that that mystery has something to do with you. Can you imagine from God's perspective the inordinate pride of believing that this one mystery of the universe is something that has that you should try to manipulate for your ends by vows or promises or foxhole theology? Now, with all that in mind, I want you to, maybe for the first time, begin to understand that Jesus is the Christ. He is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. And just let you fade away. Can you hear that? Our faith then says, once that transpires, once that act transpires, then you begin to understand what faith truly is. Faith then, from that moment forward, is that no matter what condition or what testing you find yourself, because you know that God has the authority and the right to put you in any position, no matter what situation you find yourself, you never forget this mystery and the certainty that that is what's in truth going on and never what the externals are is called faith. Now, as I've said so often, the reason that Tilton and the other guys exist like him is to show you the evil of yourself, so you can repent of it quicker. Now let's go to Luke 1, verse 26. In the midst of this anticipation, we find Mary. Read this before, but we may have to read this 150 times. Luke 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. This is in the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Why is it so necessary to have predicted and talked about the birth of John the Baptist 6 months prior to the birth of Jesus? Because faith cometh by hearing. Remember? What you hear is what you see. So there had to be someone that from his birth was called of God to proclaim this mystery. And still is the same. And whoever is preaching, whoever is called as the preacher, his office is that of Elijah. I mean, of Elijah, which is the office of John the Baptist. Can you see that? That's why at Passover, whoever desires to preach drinks the cup of Elijah. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, this is the prayer, and this is what I pray that each of you can say. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant in remembrance of his mercies, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. That's this whole mystery is what took place. Hanukkah. Let's go to 1 John.
Don't you wonder what that felt like for her? I mean, it
had to be awesome.
But is that what we will experience too, in a sense?
We experience. We'll experience it to the depth that we repent. The more you understand the mystery of repentance, then the greater the depth that you will feel or experience that sensation.
What is it, John, 1 John 1?
Chapter 2, verse 20.
You said earlier about repentance, it's like there's something going on about whatever I'm hearing or understanding. It's almost like to hear this or to see it. What I mean, him is almost for me to turn. Is I can't. That's not there. I mean, I can't comprehend that. I can. The only thing that I can comprehend or understand or that is real is this is so real that to turn back to anything. Is not something. It's not even.
It's not
fearful.
Smart.
I mean, I've experienced fearful, and that goes away. That for me, but it's like this anticipation of this that is more overriding. And I don't know how to say that.
It's okay. You have an unction. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things.
Where are we at?
20.
220.
Do you know all things?
Yes.
It doesn't say, like, know, like, you know, like the encyclopedia. What it says is that you understand all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Now, the subject is, how do you deny that Jesus is the Christ? Mr. Getzlaff?
You say that you need something, you think things need to change, think there's something wrong.
Jesus is a Christ.
I think that we exist.
That's good.
Cliche.
I didn't hear what he said. So what?
You say, you deny that Jesus is the Christ by saying that you exist.
Or he isn't enough.
Ooh. Wish I hadn't heard that.
We're not worthy.
Cliche.
But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know or understand all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. I want you to listen now, because we're going to find out what God thinks a liar is. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, how do you deny that Jesus is the Christ? You first have to understand what Christ means, the Christ means. He's the fulfillment of every hope and desire and dream. And from God's perspective, you deny that Jesus is the Christ if you say that you need something or things need to change. That's a huge concept. Can you hear it a little bit? Gotta keep that mark there and go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Start in verse 31. I want to show you something. You got to first see that it says, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. So this little section that we're about to read, he's talking to the Jews that believed on him. Right? And he's having this great conversation. Well, let's read the whole damn conversation. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. He's talking to guys that believe on him. Do you understand? I speak that which I have seen with my Father. You do that which you have seen with your father. What's he doing? He's trying to provoke them. These are guys that believed on him. And you know. And he's telling them, I do what I see with my father, and you do what you see with your father. It's not very nice. They answered. What?
Talking about the father.
Well, watch.
He's talking about Satan.
Just watch. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. He's talking to guys that believe on him.
What's wild is he's telling him that if you love God, love your neighbor. If you're being that, but yet you're going to kill me, then how can you do the same thing?
Yeah. You are of your father the devil, and the desires or lust of your father you will to do. That's what that says. What you will do is not a good translation. It should say you will to do. That's all you can do, is will to do the desire of your father. You can't, you understand? You can't think about it right. All you can do is will or think to do the desire of your father, the devil. You can't think about it right.
Why didn't they take issue with him saying that they seek to kill him?
They will.
Okay.
What they're not going to take issue of it. He's going to prove it to them by his words.
Yes, but I mean, it's like
they're going to kill him. They're going to want to kill him in a minute.
If they were a believer, if they said, they're saying they believe him, and then they say you're going to kill me, it would seem they're going to kill me. But instead of taking issue with whose God they are, whose
father. Watch.
It's like what we do in here sometimes.
You are of your...
Like, he hadn't quit talking. You're probably pretty awestruck, right?
You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh... Again, this is... It should say, when he speaketh, it is a lie. How can you tell if he's lying? He's opened his mouth, his lips move.
That can be alternative.
When he speaketh, he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own or out of himself, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. People that believe on him. Believe in him. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? That's again, the translation, a better translation is Say we not well that thou art a child of Samael and hast a demon? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Okay, now that pissed him off. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that you have a devil. Started out 20 verses before, then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him. Now they're saying, in that one short little exercise, now from believing on him, now he has a demon. Now, do you have any doubt why I sometimes challenge you when you say you believe? I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't. Can you hear that? Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?
Oh boy.
Now it gets serious.
Who are you?
And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Well, now look what they did. Just for your sake, you can read the next verse, Tylene.
Then took up they stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Okay. Again, remember, from verse 31 to the end of the chapter, he's talking to Jews who believe on him. Now, can you get a little understanding of what it means to deny that Jesus is the Christ? Okay. I don't feel like talking anymore.
Well, I have a quick question. When it says in 44, I was talking about your father, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. Does that knowing that that God is life and that by being the Antichrist, that the only thing that you can do is be condemned to death? Is that what that means?
No, I mean, it also means that the first, Cain slew Abel. The fruit of the children after the fall, were the, now you were your father, the devil. I mean, I'm not going to get into this right now, but the ancients believed that the serpent had sex with with Eve, and so that's where the human race came from.
Yeah, and didn't he, is this just in my head, or didn't he get into a fight and then was cast down? Did he kill somebody, or?
Cain?
No.
Satan?
Satan.
Oh, yeah, Satan was the chief of the angels. He was the most beautiful of all the angels, and he desired to be above God. So God cast him out of heaven, he and a third of all the angels. And that's that's where the spirit world exists.
I don't know why, but I've been thinking a lot about Cain recently.
Good thing.
Yeah. And the idea that he did everything. He was the firstborn. I mean, he should have been okay.
Firstborn. He made a sacrifice to God.
He did everything he was supposed to do, and he worked real hard at it, and gave it to God, and God... And he got so pissed he killed his brother. But I keep remembering, why is your countenance false? The sin offering lieth at the door. Right. He didn't have to kill his brother, but the offering was there. He could have picked up the offering.
And if after he killed his brother, he could have picked up the offering.
After he killed his brother, he could have picked up the offering. Instead, he let himself be banished. I've just been thinking.
Have we ever talked about what it meant to be when he was banished east of Eden?
Or the martyr.
Well, we've talked about a martyr.
Yeah,
I'm old.
You're old.
There's the 3 years
left. Yeah, we started it when I came here.
That Graves book.
Peter Graves.
You're reading out of that?
Robert Graves, I mean. Yeah.
Peter Graves book.
No, not Peter Graves.
That's small.
Mission Impossible.
Yes. Mission Impossible.
Anybody else?
That's his brother.
That is overwhelming sense tonight of one of joy and one of sadness. And the joy is the amazing amount of teaching and revelation and seeing and wisdom, or whatever you want to wrap it all up, that we get just in a couple of hours of Bible study. Looking back at the other Sunday schools and churches, and you can add it all up. 20, 30 years of it wouldn't even amount to one Bible study here. And the sadness is that the people in my life that I know are believers that are stuck, or not stuck, they're there. You know, I just wish we just could hear just one Bible study, just one night. And then the other thing was just how things in your day will sometimes come and be so applicable to what you study. It's been like the repentance thing, repenting fast more often. It's like my whole day today is just full of, it's like every, God, I was doing 3 minutes. I actually got tired, I got tired of it.
It's what you will see is the repentance not to be repented of. You have to think about that one. What?
For the joy of counting yourself for being approved.
Just a feeling of know of you're elected.
Amen. Okay. Well, I won't give you that. Take a big dip.